man. And then firstly, I'd like to introduce some new... Firstly, I'd like to introduce some notions I used in this research, and then I will show you the action for Lipschitz spacetime with the Prokof field, and then I'll derive equational motions, and then I'll get asymptotic solutions, and then I will show how renormalization. So I show you how holographic renormalization is done here. And then I move to near horizon, and then I'll get a solution there. And then I show you some physical quantity near the horizon, and then I will get two numerical works. Okay, firstly, I'd like to introduce the motivation of this research, which is from holographic correspondence. Then what is the holographic correspondence? This is that the gauge theory in D-dimensional space-time is due to gravity theory on the boundary in D plus one dimensional space-time. So the well-known example of this is ADS CFT. So after this, many people try to generalize this to many other backgrounds and their dual theories. For example, ADS QCD and then DS CFT, and then we expect something with Minkowski space, and then my interest is Lipschitz space time. So in this research, I'm assuming Lipschitz space time could be due to quantum critical theories. Then, what quantum critical theory, what is it? So the property of that is the quantum critical theories arising in condensed matter systems are scale invariant. But in general, space-time and time need not scale equally. The dynamical critical exponent Z determines the relative scaling in which like that. And then this scaling symmetry is geometrically realized like this metric, equation 2. So to obtain this metric, it's called Lipschitz space-time. It is clear that an anisotropic energy momentum tensor is needed to source the gravitational field. The minimal way to achieve this is to include a vector field such like a Prokof field. Simply speaking, Prokof field is massive spinor field. Okay, and then actually in this research, I just considered the marginal mode. So for that, I just considered marginal mode. So in 3 plus 1 dimensions, the operator due to Prokof field becomes marginal when z equal 2. But in n plus 1 dimensional space-time, z is restricted by n minus 1 to have marginal operator. So z is dynamic critical exponent g is equals n minus 1. So here, our space-time is n plus 1 dimensional space-time. So if so, four-dimensional space-time, when we consider four-dimensional space-time, then n equals 3 and z equals 2. And then the goal of this research is to describe the thermodynamics of black holes in the quantum critical region where t is bigger than lambda square. This can be done by slightly deforming asymptotics of the space-times. And then I'd like to mention this research is higher dimensional expansion of the previous work done by some Sean Hartners and then Kathy and others. Okay, so I'll start with this action. So here, the lambda tilde is a cosmological constant, and then alpha is the mass of the Prokof field. So they are tuned like this way. So if I make a derivation with respect to the metric, then I'll get Einstein equations, and then I make a derivation with respect to the Prokof field potential, then I'll get a Prokof field equations. And then, for solving this equation, I use this ansatz. The first one is the ansatz for the metric, and the second one is the answers for the Prokof field. Actually, in this coordinate, we need to be careful because in this coordinate, when r goes to 0, we approach to the boundary of the space-time. So this is a little bit unusual. So, okay. And then to get the equation of motion, if we plug this ansatz to the equation of motions, then we will get these three equation of motions. So here the beta is defined like the way. So, and then at this moment I will call this equation. I will call this type one equations of motions because now I'm gonna make a change of variables. Because we do this for later numerical work, if we do this change of variables, then we will be free from the rescaling ambiguity of the metric. So later we need to numerical work, so we need to avoid rescaling ambiguity of the metric for a while. So we're gonna use that the change of variables, and then for further simplification, I'm gonna bring new variable x. So equation 5 and equation 6 with two equations, if I rewrite this equation of motions, then I will get these type two equation of motions. Okay, then let's get solutions. Firstly, I'll get a solution at the asymptotics. This is a solution k and q and x. As you see, there is a new variable, which is lambda. If you set lambda to zero, then this logarithmic term will go away. So the only term remain is the leading terms. As you see, the root z minus 1 over root z, like the terms. Actually, those terms just to recover the pure Lipschitz space-time. So that means that the rule of lambda is slightly deformed the pure Lipschitz space-time. So then I can say lambda is the scale dynamically generated by the marginally relevant mode. And then if we use this change of variables again with this type 2 asymptotic solutions, then we will recover the type 1 solutions. Yeah. We will recover the F and P for the solution for type 1 equation of motions. Okay. And then I will calculate some physical quantities of free energy density and energy density. That is the first line is the definition of the energy density. So if I calculating the free energy density with Einstein-Hilbert term plus Gibbons-Hawking term, then free energy density calculated like the way. But if you put some, if you calculate this, then it turns out to be divergent. So we need to make them finite. So we need a counter terms. So actually, we use counter terms to make our action finite, and then the property of the counter terms has to be covariant. So the easiest way to make a covariant term is putting some covariant quantity we already know. So in this case, we know the Prokof field is covariant, so we're gonna bring it, and then we're gonna put some coefficient Cn. Here, the Cn is not a constant, but a series of the one over log functions. If you're calculating it, it turns out we need at least three kinds of coefficients. So, and in the same way, we can calculate energy density like this. And then get a solution of the coefficient, then we can get, this is the solution I got. Actually, this solution is not uniquely determined. So, if you used another ansatz of the coefficient, then you can get a different value of these solutions. You can get different values. Okay, let's move to the near horizons. This is the solution at the near horizons. Actually, I mentioned at the beginning, in this case, we have rescale ambiguity F0 and P0. But if we use the make a change of variables, then we can remove, we can drop the F0 and P0. So we could avoid rescaling ambiguity of the metric. So then the only quantity we need to fix is H0 in this solution. And then if we calculate some physical quantities at near horizon, the T is calculated like the way, and then S, and which is entropy, is derived like the way. And then flux pi is gained like the way. Okay, then let's get to the logistics of the numerical rock. Okay, thank you. Yeah. And then goal of the numerical rock is that the characteristic energy scale in condensed matter systems is driven to zero at a quantum critical point. So temperature itself seems to be the only energy scale that remains in quantum critical matter. So to express physical quantities in function of T, we need numerical rocks. So this is the procedure. So firstly, we extract the log lambda r plus. So we can extract that quantity by matching conditions. Initially, so far we calculate two solutions at the asymptotics at the near horizons. So we're gonna use type 2 equation of motions and type 2 solutions. So shooting both equations towards the middle, and then matching with type 2 equation of motions at the middle, then we can extract the log lambda r plus, and then based on data, we can extract F0 and P0 later. So when you extract F0 and P0, we're gonna use type 1 equations of motions and solutions in the same way as previously. And then, actually, before we calculate temperature, T is root 2 F0 over 2 pi. So then, finally, based on these data, so we can relate log lambda I plus to log lambda square over T. So this is the result, first result. So the first result is to extract lambda. Actually, this is the z equal 2 case, that means four-dimensional space-time case, then I fixed H0, H0 equals 0.97128. The red dashed line comes from, shooted from the asymptotics, and then blue line is shooted from the horizons. Actually, in this case, this is the middle, but they are not matched. But if I adjust the intercept of the red dashed line, then they can be matched like this. So by reading off the matching condition, then I can get the log lambda I plus, the value of the log lambda I plus. In this case, the value of log lambda I plus is -14847.3. So I can do this in the z equal 3 case, which means five-dimensional space-time case. And then in this case, I fixed H0 1.634226. So in this case, this is the matching condition. And then this is z equal 4 case. And then H0 is fixed like that way. And then this is the matching condition. And then this is z equal 5 case. And then I fixed H0 is this. This is the matching condition. And then this data is z equals 6. Yeah. Actually, we can vary the value of H0, but if you vary value of H0, then you will figure out. I figured out a value of H0 cannot be bigger than H max. This is because when I go from the horizon to the boundary, the metric function grow exponentially, so it can never reach the boundary. So physically, this is the situation in which the deformation is turned off and we recover a black hole in the pure Lipschitz space-time. So if we calculate the maximum value of the H0 on G, then they depict like the way. This is the x-axis is G, and thank you, y-axis is the H0. So maximum value of H0 is linearly increased on G. And then if we calculate the second data, that means, you know, the second numerical work is to extract F0, F0 and P0. So same way, if I apply same way, if I apply previous method, then I can get, from the first graph, I can get a F0, and then from the second graph, I can get a P0. Then with F0 and P0, I can get a log lambda scale over T. And then same way, it's equal 3 case, it's equal 4 case, it's equal 5 case, it's equal 6 case. And then if I put together all data, then I can defect entropies. So if I defect entropy density over T versus log lambda scale over T, then they draw like the way. So this is just a point. Actually, I numerically worked with 20. I got 20 data, but if I try with more, if I do it with more data, then I will get like this graph on the left. And then this is equal 3 case. This is equal 4 case. And then this is equal 5 case. This is equal 6 case. So they show similar shape, but different values. And then next things to do is to find a free energy density versus log lambda scale over T, and then apply this method to Lovelock gravity. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I have a question about the free energy density. When you solve the divergence problem, you add a counter term. I'm just not sure why you don't choose the upper limit for your R.
Oh, yeah. Actually, in quantum critical theory, we have a lot of we have some variables, but they are not. They do not play the rules. Actually, they go to zero. So only variable we can control is temperature T. So we need to change the variable, you know, from R to T.
So R can go until infinity.
Sorry?
So R can go from zero to infinity?
Oh, no. Actually, in my coordinate, R goes to zero is boundary. So R goes, you know, zero, from zero to one. Or 1 from 2, 0. Yeah.
Any other questions, comments?